Fred Film Radio, from the 1st to the 8th of October, is joining the Silent Film Festival, Pordenone, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 35th Pordenone Silent Film Festival, Le Giornate del Cinema Muto, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Christoph Zanussi. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, I'm happy that we have a chance to talk. I'm very happy that this festival goes on. It's a miracle for me how the festival that exploits a limited reservoir of films, that it continues so many years. And I think it is always discovering something that hasn't been shown before. Amazing.
That's a good point. I overheard in previously that you mentioned that this is the first time at the festival, so are you excited?
Yes, I am. This is the first time. I have my particular links to this city because my distant ancestors are from Pordenone, from Fiuli, and my very, very far relatives are running here some industry, which in fact became very international nowadays. So my link to Friuli is particularly strong, and that's why I didn't hesitate when I was invited to come for one day, even if I'm absolutely exhausted, because Sunday I had an opening night of a stage play that I have written and directed, and it was in Lithuania, so another country. Anyway, that's my biography, but the biography of cinema is fantastic. The mute cinema was almost forgotten, and suddenly more and more people know about it.
Yeah. Well, we have that in common. This is my first year at the festival too, and I was so excited about coming because I always read about this festival. And of course, this year has a focus on Polish silent films, which is it's kind of a sad story because there aren't really many films that have survived from that era.
Well, for us, there are so many other things that we lost during World War II. We lost many of our cities, we lost many of our books, many of our portraits, and other memorabilia. So we are very tender when we talk about what is found, what is left, what is discovered, what is excavated. And as a film student, I have learned about Polish silent cinema quite a lot. It was quite alive. It was even strong before World War I. But later on, after talkies started, mute cinema has totally vanished from people's memory. And now it is back. That's something very interesting.
Yeah, and specifically, though, it's kind of strange that so little films have survived from that time period and from Poland. Why is that? What happened?
Well, because of the war that destroyed so much. Killed so many people, destroyed completely a Jewish community which was very present in cinema before the war, and they have all vanished.
Oh, yeah.
So it is we are a different country, and I'm happy that something has been found. That's already a success. I'm an optimist. I said the bottle is half full. That's already good.
That's right. Well, this festival is showing a number of them. But just for our listeners, to give an idea of what kind of films were produced at the time, what was going on?
Oh, well, it was a very versatile production in going in many directions. There was a very strong link to the literature. People believed that if a popular novel is adapted to cinema, it will be followed by the public because they will know more or less what to expect, what it is about. So amazing how many classic stories and novels have been adopted and made as films. And sometimes it was really done by force because the credits, the titles, were taking so much time. Yeah. There is a big poem, an epic poem that has been, like Iliada, that has been filmed as a silent movie. And only recently Andrzej Wajda made it as a regular film. But this is all based on the word, and word is only printed between the images.
Yeah. Pan Tadeusz, the film that you'll be presenting tomorrow, is also kind of based on a poem, I believe.
Well, that's what I had in mind, yes. This is the maybe the most extreme example of such production. But I hope you will like it. Because it's having a very particular flavor. The silent cinema was not naturalistic. it was always willing to create some more theatrical reality. So it was not one-to-one copy of what we see with our eyes on the street. Mm-hmm. It was always somehow distorted. In an interesting way, this distortion was the creative process.
Yeah.
And that's why I like it. I like this very funny makeup of ladies of the time.
Yeah.
Because this makeup is also part of the stylization. It was not natural. People were never looking like that, and they were not expected to be like that. When I watch Indian cinema today, Bollywood, I understand that their aesthetical concept was a little bit like it was in the time of the mute cinema. People are not expecting in Bollywood to see reality. They want to see a dream. And this dream was also in silent movies. They wanted to see something that touches imagination but is not exactly reality.
That's also why we see so many stories about counts and noblemen and the upper class.
Well, exactly like in India, when poor people go to cinema, they want to see life of the rich people. They want to see their dreams becoming true, because they don't become true in life.
Just to go back to Pan Tadeusz, because it sounds fascinating, could you tell our listeners a little bit about it and what it's about in more detail?
Well, it is more or less an epic with a very strong love story. Love story is rather simple. It is a young man, and he finds a charming, innocent young girl, and they are far relatives, and finally they marry, but it's Napoleon time. So there is war in meantime, and there are family feuds and fights, and there is another woman, a little bit older, who is seducing young man, so he has a choice, and it is not clearly said what his conduct was like, but it was not all that innocent. So considering that this is a very didactic poem, this was quite daring. And it evokes an idyllic vision of Polish landlord's life at the beginning of century, around just after French Revolution and at the time of Napoleon. Napoleon for Poles was a liberator, and we keep a very good memory of him, which what makes us very different from other countries.
Yeah.
Russians definitely don't like it, Britons neither, Germans not very much, and even French today, they are very critical of Napoleon. So we are the only ones who really like him, and it's hard to believe, but in Polish national anthem there is a reference to Napoleon. Well, it's totally incorrect that in one nation's anthem you have another nation's dictator, yeah, emperor on the top, but we mention him.
I did not know that. That's really surprising.
We're somehow confused about it, but there is a line saying Napoleon gave us an example how to win.
There you go.
Well, it's correct.
I did not know that. That's really interesting. Just on the topic of the cinema of Poland in the early part of the cinematic history, I don't just like silent films, I like all films, and the Polish New Wave is a fantastic period of cinema as well. Do you think that somehow, even indirectly, early cinema from Poland had an impact on the filmmakers of the Polish New Wave?
Probably yes, however I'm not quite aware, because we did not consider silent cinema as a real art. We knew it was very, very commercial, and was addressed to the very, let us say, low-class audience. Upper-class people were not going to cinema practically before, as film was silent. Only later on, but this kind of really noble cinema started very late, when educated people felt a kind of cultural must to see famous films.
Yeah.
I think it was like that with Gone with the Wind, as a big epic, and I think about that time the great French films like Renoir, they were giving us a feeling of real culture. But the rest was a folk culture, and folk culture was not very respected.
And that's interesting, because that, just picking up on something that you said earlier, silent cinema was never about realism, you know, it was always about something dreamlike. Do you think that sound changed that, the coming of sound?
Oh, I think so, but sound brought cinema closer to theater, to the stage, and made it a real narrative art, because as it was silent, it was also very static.
Right.
There is very few examples when I see that there is a twist within the scene. So yeah. It is a collage of static images.
A montage.
Right, kind of.
Kind of like Eisenstein would have said.
Well,
frame is a dead object. Or
I won't quote him, but no. Because I don't like him.
I take the responsibility.
You take responsibility. You may understand that there are some reasons why Eisenstein is not so popular with my generation. No. But he's a great patron of commercials, first of all. That's his aesthetics, and that's propaganda.
Absolutely.
That lives on. Final statement, why is it important to save these films from early cinema?
I think it is important to save memory. Once we have means to save memory, we have lost thousands of years of the past. We would love to see Roman Empire, but we have no images from Roman Empire. Some little mosaics in Pompeii is very little to give us an aerial image. And we are so attached to first daguerreotype and first still pictures, not painted, but just taken from reality. And for the same reason, we are so keen to see how our grandmothers, how did they look, how did they, what they enjoyed, and what was life like, even if it is not depicted in this one-to-one kind of proportion. So I think saving memory is something very important for human beings as such. Without memory, we have no future.
And on that note, I thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure having you on Fred Film Radio.
Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.